Cool. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's podcast. We're going to be talking with Dr. Lewis Wenoto, who's with me at the moment. Lewis, I've worked with you probably 2 years now. Can you tell me who you are, dude, where you're from? What do you like to do in your spare time? Hit me up.
Good everyone, my name is Lewis Wenoto. I'm one of the emergency physicians here at Sutherland. I also work half-time at St. Vincent's, and I do a bit of VMO at North Shore.
Cool.
I've been a consultant for 6-7 years now.
Yep.
Yeah, enjoy it, really enjoy it, and I do a lot of cycling.
Cycling? You like to cycle?
outside of work.
Okay.
I am a mammal.
You are a mammal? What's a mammal for those that don't know what a mammal is?
Middle-aged man in Lycra, although I'm getting towards vomit stage.
What's vomit?
Very old men in tights.
So it's pretty, you're aging, is that what you're suggesting?
I am aging.
Okay, that's right. So you like to cycle, okay, and what made you want to become a doctor? Why do you like emergency, or emerge, as Max would say?
Look, it's a privilege to be an emergency doctor.
Yep.
A lot of people come when they're having their worst day of the year or their life, and you get to try to sort it out.
Awesome.
It's a real privilege. A lot of people don't see it that way, but yeah, it's you get to see people at their darkest moments.
Yeah, nice.
And it goes pretty quickly. I don't mind shift work.
Yeah, it's good.
Yep.
And you can fit in the cycling in between.
Yep, and it's good staff. Always pretty good staff.
And you, mate, you're a pleasure to work with, and I guess I wanted to, you know, get your input on the topic of burns.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what centre you work at, burns can come through your door, whether they've come in from ambulance, whether or not they've a walk-in patient. Talk us through burns. Tell me a little bit of the patho. What actually happens when patients are burnt?
Yeah.
What patients have you seen?
They're quite different types of burns, obviously.
Yep.
In my line of work, I don't see it very often, maybe one or two every year that are severe enough to warrant transfer to a referral hospital.
Yep.
But you see a lot of minor burns.
Minor burns.
Like in adults, most of them are heat burns.
Yes, yep.
In kids, they're scalded burns.
Okay.
And a lot of electrical burns. But the voltage that we have here in Australia are considered minor.
Okay.
So anything less than 1,000 volts.
Yep, is considered minor. Cool. Talk us through the minor burns. Let's think about where you're in an emergency department and you've got a minor burn coming in. Then we'll move to moderate to progressive or to severe. Talk us through the moderate sort of stuff.
So you have three sort of gradations of burns.
Yep.
Erythema or superficial burns.
Yep.
Partial thickness and full thickness burns, basically. You don't do first degree, second degree, third degree anymore. It's just easier for partial thickness, which covers both erythema and deeper tissues.
Yep.
So the superficial burns, literally just the epidermis, just the superficial layer of the skin, and that's it.
Okay.
Usually a bit of redness, they're hypersensitive.
Yep.
And then once you get to blistering, then you're dealing more of a partial thickness.
Okay.
Involving a bit of the dermis.
Yep.
These two are all still very hypersensitive.
Yep.
So you get pain, people complaining of pain.
Yep.
Which is a good thing, which means all your nerve fibers are still intact.
Perfect.
The full thickness burns are the pale looking burns that don't blanch. Those are serious or charred black already because they've gone fairly deep to the muscle.
Okay.
And they're insensate. Sensation whatsoever. Sensation.
So we're concerned when people don't have sensation.
That's correct.
Over and
the other concerns are if they're circumferential burns.
Yep.
If they involve the whole surrounds of either forearm or leg.
Yep.
Venus.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Yeah, you've got to mention these sort of things.
And you think about basically distal perfusion when you have circumferential burns because with time, even within 8 hours, the burns will contract and then you'll lose pulsatility to the distal tissues.
Okay. Let's talk about initial management. So we've worked out that we can have sources of heat, whether that's electricity, whether that's gases or fires, whether or not that's steam. And we're treating a minor burn.
Yeah.
What are we recommending from a management point of view for minor burns?
So for minor burns, burns that have very minor erythema, you can actually just leave alone.
Yep.
Or even Vaseline or comfort gels.
Yep.
Those with blisters, blisters greater than half a centimeter, you want to de-roof.
Okay.
De-roof means taking the blister top off, so you have controlled situation as opposed to uncontrolled rupture of the blister in due course. So when you've got a blister, it's more pain. You don't know when it's going to rupture. It's delayed healing. You can have blister infection. So, and despite patients thinking it's going to hurt, it won't hurt at all because that skin over the blister is already dead.
Okay.
You're just literally cutting around the circumference of the blister and putting a non-inherent dry dressing on top.
Cool. And first aid? When are you recommending first aid?
First aid, cool water, irrigation.
Cool.
Not ice.
Yep.
Just cool water for a good half an hour.
Ice can burn.
Ice can burn.
Cool.
Ice can burn.
We don't. We're not going to cover ice burns, but we know that ice can burn, and we want to be mindful of those sort of things. Okay.
Yeah.
It's good to do. I mean, Lewis has really outlined those classifications of burns. It's good to know the classifications of burns. What actually happens to the skin when it gets burnt? What's happening when the skin's copying that heat? What's the role? What does skin do? What do we got it for?
So, skin's a protective layer.
Yep.
As well as it keeps. It helps thermal regulation
okay,
in the
cool.
body.
Yep.
So when you lose the skin, and especially the tissues underneath, you're going to start leaking good proteins and all the nutrients of the body.
Yep.
All the cells start denaturing, and within 8 hours, you get a fluid seepage syndrome.
We'll talk about why we're resuscitating these patients. This sort of leads on to why we're resuscitating them. Perfect. Now, we've kind of covered superficial burns, and we've got to be mindful of other things as well when we're talking about superficial burns. We mentioned dressings, but we get onto this notion of TBSA, total body surface area, and how do we work out how much a patient has had burnt?
Yeah.
Especially when we've dealt with the minor burns, we know how to treat them. Mm. We've worked out how to treat those patients. What are we thinking of, and how do we go about it?
So adults and kids are different.
Yep.
Kids proportionally have a bigger head than adults.
Yep.
So in adults, it's actually easier. So you still use the rule of nines.
Rule of nines, yep.
So essentially the head is 9%.
Yep.
The trunk, the front part of the trunk is 18%. So that's your torso. The back part is 18, so that's 36 total.
Yep.
Arms, 9% each.
Yep.
So that's 18 for both arms.
Yep.
Legs are 18 each.
Yep.
So that's 36 for both legs, which leaves you another 1%.
Where's that going to be?
Perineum.
Perineum, thank you. We've covered the perineum twice now. We want to make sure we cover it. Make sure there's a percentage. I think it would depend on the person sometimes.
And then for kids, their head counts as 18%.
Okay.
And their lower
limbs. Because their heads are so big.
Yep.
Yep,
and
cool.
Their lower limbs count as 14 each instead of 18.
Okay.
So that's where you lose the percentage. And
cool.
Then you don't count a perineum in the kids.
Yep, fair enough. Yep. Good. So it's good to know that rule of nines.
And keep in mind, this TBSA only to be used for moderate to sort of partial and full thickness burns. You don't count erythema or superficial
Perfect.
Burns.
Good. Yep. So it's good to know once we're moving towards the moderate to severe, then we're starting to talk about TBSA and mentioning the rule. We talk about the rule of nines. When it comes down to, we talked a little bit about like steps you take when you're managing a patient, pain relief.
Yes,
is pain relief really important in these patients?
Very important, especially with the partial thickness burns.
Yep.
I mean, the insensate ones, the deeper burns don't have pain, but they have other issues on top of that.
Yep.
It's usually related to trauma.
Yep.
You're expecting in an adult, a heart rate of 120 is normal for a burns patient because of it's like a pretty bad sepsis in the end. It's a catabolic state. But if you're running a heart rate of 160, something else is wrong, whether it's an associated trauma or they're not well analgesed.
Okay, perfect.
When they're going slow, again, something horrendously wrong because they shouldn't be less than 100 beats per minute.
Cool. So you've got a patient coming into your emergency department. They've got moderate burns. You've been told by ambulance moderate burns. Talk me through your A, B, C, D. What are you going to do in your primary survey? So we're looking at our airway. What are we looking at? What are we looking for?
Yeah, so you're looking at cinched airways, burnt nose, burnt eyebrows, lashes, soot in their mouth, coughing up stuff. Not necessarily back in the good old days, you intubate everyone that's
yes,
got
okay.
severe
yep.
Nostrils and mouth. But you just use common sense.
Yes.
If they're delayed presentation more than 2 hours or so, and there's despite soot in their airways, they're still talking and breathing fine, they don't need to be intubated.
Do we call ENT for these guys? Do we
not if you're concerned. If you've got hoarseness of voice, change in voice, stride, or then you call ENT.
Okay, perfect.
Otherwise, you can deal with it yourself.
Good. Yeah. And so we're concerned then with airway burns, with that sort of stuff. Cool. We go on to B, breathing. What are we looking at with breathing with these guys?
So they get a bit reactive pneumonitis sometimes.
Okay.
Again, it's associated with what kind of burns it is, if it's traumatic or not.
Yes.
And if there's carbon monoxide involved.
Okay, which we'll talk about in HPCO.
Even cyanide. Yeah. Some cars still use products that give off cyanide.
So we need to be thinking about the gases.
Homes,
yep. And with carbon monoxide, it binds obviously to that hemoglobin.
Yeah.
Yep, more affinity to hemoglobin. Okay. Saturations, if someone's coming in and they've got low saturations from a burns,
yeah.
Are we thinking carbon monoxide? Are we thinking airway burns?
You can. And again, associated things like aspiration. You got to think broadly.
Yes.
Certainly carbon monoxide's high up there.
Okay,
And with desaturation.
Yep.
Other things as well, even aspiration or pulmonary contusions, pneumothorax, hemothorax.
You can't exclude them yet.
Most moderate to severe burns will have a traumatic component.
Yes.
And that's where you can't be skewed by a person with, let's say, a burnt arm or leg or face. You still have to go through the ABCs of trauma.
Oh, that trauma surveys.
That's where the patient's going to die from if you don't treat it.
Circulation, we mentioned about tachycardia, bradycardia.
Yep. They're most likely going to be hypo or normotensive.
Yep.
Hypertensive if they're in a lot of pain.
Yep.
And this is where the fluid management is very important.
Okay.
In the past, I think we generally overhydrate patients.
Yes, okay.
So we not only overestimate the percentage of body burned.
Yes.
We overhydrate people. And now there's more of a move away from the traditional Parkland formula.
Yes.
To a modified Brooks formula.
Okay.
And using urine output as the endpoint.
Perfect. So talk to me about the Brooks formula.
Yeah. So in the past, Parkland is a formula that you use for the amount of Hartmann's of intravenous fluid in the first 24 hours that you replace.
Yep.
For moderate to severe burns. So burns over 10% adult and 5% child. And you use a formula of 3 to 4 mils per kilogram per percentage of total body surface area burnt.
Okay.
Now it's 2 mils
per kilogram
per total TBSA in the first 24 hours, unless it's electrical burns, which can have deeper injuries.
Yes.
You use 4.
Okay.
Yep.
So we're assuming that people, like you've mentioned, people were overhydrating.
Yeah.
We're getting pleural edema. We're getting shifts of fluids, and we're putting fluids in the wrong spaces where they don't need to be.
Yeah, and you can't get them back again.
Yep.
So once you have capillary leakage, and that's the reason we don't use colloids anymore, because the protein leaks out, and colloids is a protein, they leak out, and you can't actually recruit them into the intravascular space anymore.
Choice of fluids, just initially?
Hartmann's.
Happy, good. Yep, we're seeing Hartmann's.
You get the first within 8 hours.
8 hours, yep.
And then the last
16 hours.
Which makes it easier. It's 1 mil per kilogram per total. Or so for say in the first 8 hours, because and the next meal per kilogram in the next 16 hours. But just titrate to urine output in an adult, 30 to 50 mils an hour.
IDC for these guys putting a catheter in, or you're happy
judgment.
To
yep, use your own judgment. If they've got burns in that area and that would hinder their mobility,
yes, then
of course, perfect. Otherwise.
And we mentioned analgesia, so we'll keep going. So we're on to circulation. Disability, if someone is, GCS-13, confused, are we thinking the gases again?
Definitely, yep. Carbon monoxide, definitely. Yep. Head injury.
Head injury.
Concurrent head injury.
Yep.
Other, or people that have seizures.
Yep.
If they're doing something that while they're having a seizure, they can have burn injury. Burned.
Okay, good. Yep.
Drug users,
yep. Okay.
Seizure.
So you can't just exclude.
Yeah.
The demographic of burns patients, young, are we thinking the younger population? I know that I looked at some data that was saying that patients over 50 that suffered burns were more likely to have a higher mortality.
Oh, yeah. Over 50, percentage of total body surface area of over 40.
Over 40, yep.
And delayed presentations.
Delayed, okay.
And lots of comorbidities.
Comorbidities,
they don't do well.
They don't do well, We know those comorbidities. Any more of those comorbidities, you get another one of those, another one, and you seem to deteriorate, much more rapidly.
You always get those ones that have facial burns with the COPDs.
Yes.
Supposed to have stopped smoking, but they've got the 24-hour nasal prongs.
Yeah.
Still smoking.
Yeah, exactly right. And the delayed presentation, especially, we're talking about the recent bushfires. Yeah. And when you're stuck in a property, your house is burned down and it's a delay to even get service, you know, emergency services to you.
Yep.
It just throws that delay to treatment,
yeah.
You know, further down the line. And we're getting patients a lot later sometimes if it is in burns. That's really cool. When it comes to, you know, environment, you know, we're cooling these patients. Do they become hypothermic, hyperthermic? What are we doing with warming or cooling?
They
what
do
are we doing?
Become hypothermic, actually.
Yes.
Just use judgment. You can warm fluids.
Yep.
I just use normal fluids until...
Yep.
Just, they're in, going to be in an ICU setting.
Yes.
So you're monitoring their temperature. You just got to keep that in mind.
Yep, good.
And they tend to get vasodilated towards the end, and that's where they become hypovolemic.
Okay, so
not hypovolemic, hypotensive.
Hypotensive.
So these burns patients may need pressors earlier than you think.
Are you thinking NORAD, adrenaline?
Yeah, NORAD.
NORAD.
One. Peripherally vasoconstrict.
Okay, there we go.
So, but there's also a catch-22. You want to perfuse those tissues that need to be perfused.
Yes.
So you just got to use judgment.
Due judgment.
So lactate coming down, less tachycardic, urine output's okay. Despite them being hypotensive, just be happy that
they're okay.
All the numbers are going the correct way.
Correct. Yeah. So it's continually monitoring these patients and watching for any of those. Do you see, from a gas point of view, do you see like a respiratory acidosis, a metabolic acidosis, a lactate that's high?
Yeah.
What do you sort of, you know, what do you
I
see?
I think you'd expect both a mixed picture, more likely a metabolic acidosis because of the tissue loss of the lactic acid and the muscle breakdown.
Yep.
With smoke or inhalational other associated injuries, you would also expect the respiratory acidosis.
Acidosis, yep.
And then later on, with the renal impairment from the rhabdo or myoglobinuria, you'll have a renal acidosis.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
That's just such a different, you know, the picture can change depending on what's happening with the patient. Interesting. It's interesting to
see. And with cyanide, you have a disproportionately high lactate.
Okay. How high are we talking? 8?
Just incongruous to the gas itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got an anomaly of lactate that sits quite high.
Yeah.
Okay. And just monitoring that lactate
important.
You know, really interesting. What are some of those red flags? We've got, let's say we're talking about the patients that are the severe burns. We've got someone who's come in with, you know, we've done our assessment. They've got severe burns. They're sitting up around the 20 to 30% total body surface area.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're intubated and they're going to send them somewhere. Mm. We retrieve these patients to other places, other centres?
Yeah, there are certain retrieval guidelines to referral hospitals.
Yep.
And that's burns in adults greater than 10%.
Yep.
Total body surface area in kids greater than
5.
Any circumferential burns.
Yep.
Or burns to special areas like the face or the perineum.
Yes.
Burns that are suspicious of non-accidental injuries.
Yes, okay, we've got to raise that point.
Yep. And I know the red flags are if you're struggling with ventilation.
Yes.
Then you've got to think about ascharotomy.
Yes.
So it...
And what is it for just so people know what it is?
Ascharotomy is releasing the charred tissues.
Yep.
So basically your compliance is restored of chest wall or... The restoring the perfusion to distal limbs.
Yep. More likely seen in circumferential burns. Yep.
Circumferential full thickness burns.
Full thickness burns,
The scar tissues contract.
Yep, perfect. So it's good to know those guidelines, especially knowing them in your facility where you work, so that you can know which patient should be managed here or sent elsewhere. And I'm assuming with any of these patients, they're going to have some form of burns input, whether or not it's a phone call related to a type of dressing we want for a minor burn, or whether or not it is retrieving them to another centre.
Sometimes burns that are so severe that you're requiring a lot of analgesia, the patient might actually need to be intubated even though there's no airway issues at all.
Mm. Drugs. Everyone likes to talk about drugs.
Yeah.
You know, what type of analgesia are we giving? Are we giving fentanyl? Are we giving ketamine? Depending, if they're severe and they're in agony, what's your dose?
If they're severe in agony, I would use morphine and ketamine for sure.
Morphine and ketamine,
Or fentanyl and ketamine.
Yep.
I think you need a combination of both.
Of both,
Whether it's patient-controlled analgesia with the opioids, with the ketamine as an infusion, or as an adjunct. If you have severe limb injuries, you can think about blocks.
Yep. Yeah, good point. Haven't thought of that. Yeah, blocking it. Yep.
But the only issue with blocks is you can't neurovascularly assess after you do the block.
Yes, which is important sometimes in burns, especially if you have a... Yep, that's a good point. Good point raised. What's your take home for people, you know, junior doctors, junior nurses? What's your take home for burns? What do you want them to know, basically? Yeah.
Don't get flustered. Stick with what you know, ABCs.
Yep, ABCs.
Pain relief is important.
Yes.
And behind all that charred tissue, there's another person in there.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, just stick to the basics.
Yep.
Common sense. If they're peeing, lactate's coming down, don't need to overhydrate them. Just treat the pain relief and make sure they're dressed appropriately, the burns, and good referral.
Yep. Good hydration, not overhydration.
Good hydration.
Yeah.
Better than overhydration, for sure.
Nice. Similar to cycling here, Lewis. I think we're talking about cycling. You know, when you're riding a long distance, you want to be, you know, make sure you take in your electrolytes and those important fluids, but you don't want to overhydrate.
Yeah.
So it's important to understand these concepts. Lewis, mate.
Protein shakes after the burn.
Mate, you're awesome. It's been great chatting with you. I feel like I understand burns better. I feel like I've got a better concept of it. Thank you for your time, mate. It's just a privilege to get your opinion on this sort of stuff and also to share the knowledge as well.
Oh, pleasure, mate.
Thanks for your time, and appreciate it.
Hope we can do this again.
That's it.
Different topic.
Bye.